Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, Manhattan Beach 360, on February 5th, 2016. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that. I'm your host, Joe Terry.
The South Bay Show is brought to you by the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce. The Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce has been serving the city of Manhattan Beach for over 60 years, and they are dedicated to promoting a strong local economy by supporting the community, providing valuable business connections, and representing business with government. The Chamber staff is focused on providing its membership with the tools and resources to help businesses grow and thrive within the community. Their goal is to continually support the individual efforts of business as they work to support the growth of the local economy. For more information on how the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce is working with member businesses and the City of Manhattan Beach to support that growth, visit the website at manhattanbeachchamber.com or call 310-545-5313.
You can read all about our many adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/ The South Bay Show. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose. That's what we talk about here on The South Bay Show. And, of course, I'm not alone because of our great partnership with SouthBayByJackie.com and producer of The South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, how are you doing today?
I am doing great this morning, Joe. Did you hear that it's going to get in the 80s tomorrow?
Yeah, it's incredible.
Okay, well, we'll see, because we know those lying weathermen. We will see. We will
That's
see.
Right.
But
right.
If it happens, I'll be very pleased.
It will be a great week, for the next 7 days. It's going to be Santa Ana conditions, nice and warm. Those pesky high pressure systems which keep the rain away, but it's going to be fun for a few days.
Yeah. Well, speaking of, you know, it's the perfect time to get outside, right?
And it's the perfect time for Super Bowl parties and Valentine's Day. Well, hopefully it'll extend to Valentine's Day.
Hopefully.
So, you know, it's incredible. The services, we talk about the services in the South Bay that we have all the time.
Well, we talk about how great it is to live in the South Bay.
Yes, we do.
Overall, in general.
Yes,
right?
We do.
I mean, there's a lot of aspects to it. You know, we've got good schools.
Yeah.
You know, we've got this incredible, you know, beachside location.
Right.
You know, we have great people, but today our topic is another aspect of what makes the South Bay so great.
You know, Jackie, parks make life better.
That's one of the greatest mottos ever, don't you think?
I do.
Yeah.
I really do, because it says so much, not just about families, but about older adults. It says so much about being in shape, staying in shape.
It's one of the greatest branding.
Right.
Logos, you know, BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Right.
You know, that's a great brand logo. Parks make life better. Says it all right there, doesn't it?
It almost does, but what we need is an expert. And we need, you know, like the Cowardly Lion in The Wizard of Oz. The Cowardly Lion was very brave when it came to Dorothy. You don't mess with Dorothy. Mm-hmm. But you know what he needed, Jackie?
Mm-hmm.
He needed a medal.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. I forgot that.
And we have a hero that needs a medal. Jackie, who's our guest today?
Our guest this morning is Idris Yassim Alabudi from Manhattan Beach Parks and Rec, a nationally and internationally recognized recreation and parks professional and public speaker. Idris is a highly motivated, energetic, passionate leader with vision and a pragmatic approach to recreation issues and needs. He has developed programs that deliver quality recreation services in a cost-efficient manner and is committed to enhancing and preserving a high quality of life through a wide variety of leisure, cultural, and community services in well-maintained facilities. Idris has 32 years of progressive experience in administrative and supervisory capacities. He holds a Bachelor of Science in Recreation and Administration and is a graduate of NRPA Pacific Marketing and Revenue Sources Management School. Now, Idris was recently selected for the 2015 California Park and Recreation Society Service Award of Excellence and Fellowship Hall of Fame recipient. This is the highest award achievable for a professional in the parks and recreation field in the state, and this is the first time an employee of the City of Manhattan Beach has been chosen for this honor. The award ceremony will take place on March 11th at the Hyatt Regency Sacramento, and in addition, Idris is also celebrating his 30th year work anniversary in March. So congratulations, Idris, and welcome back to the program.
Well, good morning, and thank you very much for the wonderful introduction. And, you know, the comment about how wonderful it is to work here in the South Bay, I remember my buddy and my mentor, Charlie Sakely, the godfather of beach volleyball.
Yes.
Every time we walked into office for the years that I had the good fortune of working with him and saw him, he said, I tell him, how's it going, Charlie? And he said, it's just another day in paradise. So I thank you very much for hosting me on the program and for the introduction.
This is a big deal. This is a big deal.
It is. It is. And the CPRS Awards Program is a huge deal. And it's very important. I want to focus for a moment. Let's talk about a little history. Let's find out how you came to the Parks and Recs Commission and what it is about Parks and Recs that makes such a difference in lives. And then we'll eventually get to the award, because that's just the icing on the cake. But how did you first get into the world of recreation and parks? How did that happen?
Well, you know, it started a long, long time ago, and that's, you know, when we all recreate, you know, all intelligent life plays. Mm. So as a child, and you know, being youngest of six boys and then a sister and another brother, so we always were playing and engaged, etc. I was born in Baghdad, Iraq, of an American mother and an Iraqi father. And grew up in a very, very artistic, playful, innovative family with my brother Nabil, Jamil, Walid, Farid, Basil, and my sister Maryam, and my youngest brother Daniel. So we always, so then you take it outside of the family and you see opportunities to play and engage, etc. Formally, of course, you start, you know, I went to a music and ballet school. And was a scholarship or getting a scholarship to go study in the Soviet Union at the time. Then went to France, and from France came to America, was heading towards the arts, and then my good fortune took me to a physical education class and then a recreation class, and that's when I fell in love. I said, this is for me. This is a big umbrella, like Jackie said, you know, earlier, parks make life better. And I saw it, you know, the impact on people's lives, their health, their wellness, their happiness, their joy, the way that they approach life. So this was something that I just intuitively, instinctively, you know, mind, body and soul, heart, everything, just fell in love with it. I went to school to study parks and recreation in a wonderful university in Kalamazoo, Michigan, Western Michigan University. And I graduated from there and was working for Kalamazoo Parks and Recreation. Ms. Lois Jackson was my director at the time with the Kalamazoo YMCA, worked for camp and recreation in different camps in Michigan, etc. Just before graduation, I came to visit one of my older brother, a fantastic innovator in his field also. His name is Walid Adarboudi, And at that time, he was, I believe at that time, he was director of occupational therapy for Sentinella Hospital. Mm-hmm. I got off the plane, and I fell in love again.
Yeah.
Oh, I said, wow, my God. Palm trees?
Yeah.
I mean, olive trees?
Yeah.
Bougainvilleas, everything. And he was living in Redondo at the time. So after graduation and finishing my work, I moved out to California. From Michigan, and back in 85, my first job was with the wonderful Department of Parks and Recreation in the city of Redondo Beach.
Yeah.
They had no opening except for a recreation leader. I took it. I jumped on it.
Hmm.
And my good fortune led to a conversation between one of my wonderful mentors, Mr. Jim Steckline, who was director of Parks and Recreation here in Manhattan Beach, and they were looking for somebody to oversee 21 classes for a contract of $580 a month, and I jumped on that.
Hmm.
So I started in Manhattan Beach as a contractor, overseeing these classes, then became the first civil servant supervisor, the manager, and then throughout the years, you know, I just had the good fortune to work with wonderful people here in the city of Manhattan Beach to do what we do here together. It takes a whole city, believe me, folks, to create a great parks and recreation department. It takes the community. It takes, you know, departments, our school districts, our nonprofit organizations, our businesses. Everybody contributes to create this department. So as far as this award is concerned, I always say I'm like the rooster taking credit for the sun coming up. You know what? This is all about the wonderful people that I get, you know, the opportunity, the good fortune, the luck to work with day in and day out, like Mr. Charlie Sakely, like Mr. Steckline, like Mr. Jim Wolf, like the people that I currently work with, you know, from our wonderful recreation leaders to our innovative and forward-leading leadership. I'm just fortunate.
Yeah, don't play it down, though, Idris. Don't play it down. You have to have somebody that pulls it all together.
I'm a player.
You got the award. You're the player.
I play the game, and if you don't give me the ball, I can't shoot.
Can you pronounce your name again for me?
Yeah, it's Idris. Yes. Jassim Al Ubudi.
Idris, yes. Jassim?
Jassim Al Ubudi, yes.
Al Ubudi.
Al Ubudi, yeah.
There is a common thread among all people that win awards that are very deserving. And the common thread is that they often deflect the praise from themselves to the team, to the situation, the times, you know, we're getting into, or we're in award season. The Oscars are coming. Often you'll hear an actor say, "Well, you know, I'm one of hundreds or thousands of people that have made this possible." But, but no, there is something about the character of that person and the depth of commitment to their role that made it special. Even though they were supported by others, there was a hole that could only be filled by a great talent. And there's something very eloquent about the way that you approach your job, Idris. It's not to be trifled, it's not to be belittled. The way in which you approach the work that you do is truly extraordinary. Do you know this?
Well, you know, what can I say? I mean, it's humbling to be a public servant to begin with. Let me say, you know, there are different kinds of public servants. I had a buddy here, loved very much, was one of our DARE officers by the name of Marty Gans.
Mm, yeah.
And he used to go, and we worked together in the DARE program. In fact, he was a DARE officer for one of our staffs. And then on December the 27th of 1993, he was taken away from us. So I know, you know, what we do together is what we do together. And I know I understand the, you know, the genius of the individual, but I also understand the wisdom of the crowd. And I understand that it takes all of us to support us, and it creates a lot of trust. When people trust you and they trust in your judgment, and definitely trust in some of the mistakes that you make, knowing that from these mistakes are really attempts at success, then you're in a good place. Then you learn how to grow. Then you know how to grow as a leader. You grow as a person, etc. You know, in the beginning of your program, you know, the slogans and that are used are really, you know, attached also to my heart, where I talk about, you know, love, liberty, learning. You know, it's very, very important, and then leaving a legacy.
Right.
And this is very, very important. You know, it takes people to do all of these kind of things.
Right.
It takes a lot of people to do all of these kind of things. It's, yes, definitely there's personal effort. Yes, there is talent. Yes, there is all of these kind of things. But these, it's almost like a diamond that's in the ground. It takes a jeweler to recognize what is glass and what is a diamond, and to work to put it in the right light, to set it in the right place, not to show it off, but to show the beauty and to reflect this on others. We have only one chance at this life, and the whole idea is, what are you going to be doing at it? So I chose to be a public servant, and being a public servant means that you are there to do your best to uplift the quality of life and conditions of life for those people that you serve. I think Marty did that and paid the ultimate price. And he's my hero. Whether you spend one day here or you spend it's what brought you here. And what brought you here is passion. And then you try to put this passion into practice. So I'm very, very interested in continuing, you know, the legacy of the teachers who taught me, from my, you know, my mom, my parents, the service that they have provided, whether it is in Iraq or in that area of the world, or in the United States, or wherever it might be. I'm continuing the legacy and the work of my brother Walid, Farid, Nabil, all of my sister Maryam, Daniel, Farid, you know, Jamil, all of them are all embedded in me, and I carry this message with me wherever I go.
Okay, you got to do me a favor. Somebody has got to sign him up to go give seminars at the DMV and the post office. All right? Okay? No, you talk about being a public servant, seriously.
Yeah.
I mean, that is the difference. That is the stark difference right there. You know, if everybody that worked in public service had your attitude, what a better place the world would be, right?
Our gift, I think, as human beings, is our mindset. And when you know, it's not what you're looking at; it's what you see. And if you have a trivial description of your job, then you become trivial. And if you have a grand description of your job, then you become grand. You know, one time I was going to give a speech in Washington D.C. and I was in the back of a taxi, and the driver asked me, "So what you're here for?" And I told him, "Oh, a convention." And he said, "Oh," and I was in a suit and tie. So he said, "Congress, Pentagon, you know, etc." I told him, "Well, no, I'm here for safety and security." And he looked at me, and he said, "Oh, so you're in the military?" And I told him, "No." And then he kept on guessing. And then he told me, "So what you're in, man? What you do? I can't figure it out." So I told him, "Parks and Recreation." And he looked at me and said, "How's that?" I told him, "You know, we take care of your kids between the hours of 2 to 6. And that's the hours of juvenile crime." And then he looked at me and said, "Yeah, man, that's how my daughter goes here, and she does that." So if you have a trivial description of yourself, and then you end up being this way. We're in the business of health and wellness. We're in the business of solving community problems, strengthening community image and sense of place, supporting economic development, safety and security, like I mentioned, fostering human development, increasing cultural unity. I mean, come on, go to our events and see, you know, everybody, all ages. Protecting environment, you know, we're in the lead as a profession, whether it's locally or even globally. And, you know, we do provide recreational experience to recreate people from the inside.
You, Idris, you give me such hope. And you rebuke me for ever thinking that what we do, as I do often, you know, what Jackie and I do, sometimes I think, well, what does it amount to? But then other times I am so thankful to be able to interview people like you and to know that we can create this record, because I think that once people hear this, and perhaps over the time, over the years, if they hear this interview with you, they will understand what a great treasure it was to have you. That brief moment of 30 years that we had you to guide us and to lead us and to share in what Parks and Recs is in Manhattan Beach. Now, Idris, I want to read you a small quote, and I want you to tell me who you think this is.
Yes.
So often we overlook the worth and significance of those who are not in professional jobs or those who are not in so-called big jobs. But let me say to you tonight that whenever you are engaged in work that serves humanity and it is for the building of humanity, it has dignity and it has worth. One day our society must come to see this. One day our society will come to respect the sanitation worker if it is to survive.
Well, I think this is Dr. King.
It is truly. And it's as true 40, 50, 60 years ago as it is today, everyone who doesn't appreciate their job really has been given the wrong job description.
Yes. You know, it takes, when you were reading that to me, it evoked a lot of emotion. And it's emotion of true love. And true love is action, is actionable. Is something that you it's not a matter of just laying down your life, but you use all of your talent in order to further this point. And as a hero to all, a true gentleman, sometimes tends to be Santa Claus by people, and you know we celebrate a day or something like that, but it speaks to me, you know, when you know that we have angels like this, that we within our lifetime, at least within my lifetime, it takes me back to a lot of memories with these kind of work. One of the things that's very, very important is even a speech by Dr. King is the whole idea of being maladjusted. And this idea is maladjusted to what? You know, the status quo has to change. The way that we think of things has to change in order for change then to become a habit of our civilization, how we think of things. How we see things, how we do things is the way that we get things. And this is very, very important. And this idea of being maladjusted might, you know, in psychology, in psychiatry, people will say, well, this is kind of a sickness. But it isn't. You know, in order to be an innovator, it's not a matter whether you're in or outside of the box. Your gift is your mindset. And this gentleman's mindset echoes not only today, as you have read it to me and evoke this in me, but must continue to be something that is understood, that it takes this kind of love, this kind of commitment, this kind of, if you have a trivial description of yourself,
right,
as a human being, let's say in the context of what we're talking about as far as Dr. Martin Luther King and the sanitation workers, they're not trivial. We would be up to our gills with trash if nobody
yeah.
would do anything
yeah.
like that.
Literally,
so,
literally.
You,
yeah.
you know what I'm saying? So, and it's very, very true. Everybody not only plays a part, but they play a major part when they do their job in a great way.
Mm.
It could be a very, very small thing that you do. I remember, you know, years ago, this is many, many years ago, and we had a refugee issue when I was growing up in Iraq. And there was refugees that my father, you know, so my father said, well, maybe your gift, my son, to them is a smile, because you have a beautiful smile. And that's all you can give them at that time. So I think this, you know, this crooked line, this smile that makes everything straight with people, this emblem of peace that we have, that has been gifted to us, is something that we can create and recreate by parks make life better.
Mm.
The smile starts on the outside and then goes to inside to lift the spirit, to recreate, to create these positive places, positive spaces, engagement, you know, that lasts forevermore. In psychology, it's called, or sociology and psychology, you know, people call it SEE, significant emotional event.
Mm.
Something that transformational happens to you. You know, you don't take a journey. The journey takes you. So you go to a concert and you sit down and the music lifts you and takes you out of your mood. You go to the playground. So you're sad because this is going, suddenly you're on a swing, playing with other people, engaging, socializing. It's transformational. It's not a mistake, and it's not an accident or an incident that our world leaders back in the day, back in 1948, when they were talking about, you know, the Declaration of Human Rights, when Article 24 talks about the right of every human being, for rest and leisure.
Hmm.
So, you know, this is very, it's important. Imagine that somebody would take this away from you. Imagine that we have no parks. Imagine that we don't have these community centers. Imagine that there is no classes, no this, no that. What would life be? You know, what would we do? Where would we go? And the recreation is the inspiration to the destination inside and then goes outside. So thank you very much for reading me that quote. It did impact me deeply and sent me off on an tangent, but I thank you very much.
Wait, I got a couple of things I got to jump in here. First off, the happiness you derive, we got to add this to his list of things. The happiness you derive when your pumpkin races in a straight line.
Oh, joy.
You may not have won, but your pumpkin raced in a straight line.
And something that I made, something that you made, and look at it go.
He just... I got to tell you something. That pumpkin race last year.
Yo.
You know, we worked so hard, and up until the last minute,
yeah,
we were working so hard to get that pumpkin to run true, to run straight.
Yeah.
You were in the back alleys, and it kept swerving to the right, to the left, and when we had our race. And that thing ran true. It ran straight narrow. We were jumping up and down so excited. We didn't care that we didn't win.
Yeah.
Our pumpkin ran straight.
Yeah.
One of the things that I love doing is taking a look at the faces of the people around, and then even going back and looking at the pictures with all the oohs and ahs. And it doesn't, you know, it's everybody. It's from our wonderful businessmen to our councilmen to our teachers to the little kids to the grandma, everything like that. It's transformational. It's something happens inside that says to you, you know what? I'm feeling good, and I want to share it with everybody else. Let's laugh together. Let's play together, and let's stay doing it forever.
Yeah, boy, that was such a great event. That's the first time that I've ever been a part. And boy, oh boy, what a fun event! What a fun event!
Oh yeah, yeah.
We will be back next year too.
Yes, we will.
I hope you will. The challenge is on. I mean, come on. Now you got bitten by the pumpkin race bug, so you got to be there.
it was so impressive. I mean, all of those amazing. Well, okay, for anybody that's listening to this that doesn't know what we're talking about, every year Manhattan Beach hosts the Great Pumpkin Race.
Right.
Around Halloween, and hundreds, thousands of people. Well,
yeah,
thousands of people come out.
Oh yeah, thousands.
They build these pumpkin race carts, and
yes,
they have races all day, and it is more fun than a barrel of monkeys. It's just so fun.
And as you know, Jackie, I love a good URL, and this might be one of my favorite URLs on Earth. It's just pumpkinrace.com.
Exactly.
Pumpkinrace.com.
Yep.
Very fortunate to have, you know, the founding fathers of this here in the city of Manhattan Beach. You know, Carl Rogers, Mr. John Holliday, Michael A. Carr, you know, we're so lucky. You know, we're just so fortunate. So much talented, and so many people that are willing to jump in and help put such wonderful events together here in the city.
I have to tell you, last year when I posted that information about the race on my website, one of my nieces that lives back east saw the post, and she put together a pumpkin race on their street.
Mm.
Wow.
She took it upon herself. Now, they don't live on a hill. They're not near a hill. So they built a ramp.
Yeah.
They built a ramp. It wasn't, you know, the nice long hill that we have, but they built a ramp with a finish line. And I think she said they had about 15 or 18 entrants, and she showed me, I got the pictures, and everybody get into it. But what was even more exciting was that people from the other streets came over, and they were like, oh, you got to do this next year. You got to do this next year. So, I got to tell her this started in Manhattan Beach.
Yeah, we get inquiries, you know, nationally and internationally about a lot of the events that we have. And, you know, I remember talking to folks from Michigan. We were talking about maybe putting them on skis, so you never know.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, Joe, we got to take a station break real quick.
It's when you're having a show like this, it's easy. Ladies and gentlemen, if you've been listening, you know that this is the South Bay Show, and we're having a wonderful discussion, an emotional discussion, about something that isn't simple, but people think it is, about something that is extremely important to the lives of our community, but is often taken for granted. And we're talking about Parks and Rec. We're talking about Parks Make Life Better. And we're also talking about a great honor received by Idris, the Cal Park and Rec Society Service Award of Excellence. We're truly honored to have Idris with us, and we're having a great conversation. And if you'd like to ask Idris a question, or if you have a comment, we'd love to have your question or comment. Please give us a call at 714-242-5288. That's 714-242-5288. We'd love to have your comment or question. Well, Idris, now it's time. We should talk about this award thing that's happening. How did you first get notification?
Well, David Ibarra, one of the wonderful staff that I get the pleasure to work with and actually know since he's a child here in the city of Manhattan Beach, who happens to be the supervisor of our after-school playground programs, etc. nominated me, and then many community members and apparently, got involved, etc. So he contacted me and he said, "Hey, Idris, congratulations. You've won this award." And I was like, "Really? And what's going on here, etc." So I was first disbelief what's going on, etc. But then all the letters and congratulations start coming in, and the high fives here in the office and around town, etc. So it's sinking in. I'm feeling like a Hall of Famer now.
Right. You know something. Those are the best awards. Anytime you get acknowledged for something that you didn't even know you were up for.
Yeah.
You know, it's one thing to have a goal and say, I want to do this, I want to do this, and work, and then you get there.
Yeah.
It's another thing altogether when you don't even know that you're in the running, and all of a sudden somebody announces it to you.
Yeah.
It's like, really? I remember when that happened to me with, I got this thing in the mail, I got a phone call, I got something in the mail, I got something in email saying that I was a million miler on American Airlines.
Oh,
and I was like, what? What is a million miler? I didn't know what that meant. And apparently, I had racked up over a million miles flying American Airlines.
Yeah.
And I was like, what does it mean? And they're like, oh, you get this and you get this. And I was like, wow, I'm a million miler. I didn't even know it existed.
Yeah.
It's a very special club.
And then when you start sharing it with others and seeing the reactions of them, talking to my wife about it, the four kids about it, my brothers, etc. It's like, hearing about people contacting, the CPRS in the city and wanting to be at the banquet, etc. Kind of addresses, it's a long journey, to build, these programs, writing all of the manuals, philosophy of pricing, philosophy of parks and recreation, creating with people all of these programs. Working with the CPRS on the first campaign that I did with the CPRS and also the NRPA was the benefits campaign, which was a study that actually came out of Canada that looks at the benefits of parks and recreation, personal, social, economic benefits, and environmental. And then the transformational work that occurred in the 90s with the CPRS doing the VIP, the Vision Insight Plan. And then that other work that I did with them on the branding campaign and becoming ambassador for both of those programs. And then the good opportunity that the CPRS tasked me with leading the first youth task force here in California to look at youth sports and working with the CPRS California Parks and Recreation Society and the National Alliance for Youth Sports on this initiative, and with Dr. Keith Fulthorpe, with the supervisor Cameron Harding, with Mark Lehman, my brother Daniel actually was part of it, and all the wonderful people, and putting it all together, ending up with a state bill, a state rally, a Senate bill that not compels but advises, etc., in regards to the importance of youth sports, that we create positive youth sports experiences, better sports for kids, better kids for life, and then building on that. And the work that I just completed also with a wonderful organization called Save the Children, and that is in regards to, and this is, international work also, because, this is an international organization. And what is the role of parks and recreation in disaster preparedness? So wonderful two manuals, if you will, in regards to the whole idea of protecting our children in disasters, what to do, how to do it, formulas, etc., and then breaking it down to implementation tools. So that's a big task. And then the next project that I'm working on is on innovation in parks and recreation, a 30 years reflection on work in parks and recreation, vision, leadership, management and supervision. And then the work that I'm also going to be doing and starting work on with the CPRS, and that is called the VIP 2.0. And that is my ideas of how to animate the VIP. Many partners, Dr. Keith Fulthorpe from California State University, Long Beach, Dr. David Hardy, also, and then of course, the education directors with the NRPA, Tom Cosley, education director for the CPRS, Leslie Fritz, and many other people that play a big role in coalescing all of these ideas, etc. So many projects that are very, very interesting in and outside of the city. And inside of the city, of course, we're working on a skateboard park, folks.
Yay!
That's a big thing.
All of this work, all leads up. It's a body of work, and you go back and you look at it and you say, cumulatively, people were contacting David, et cetera, collecting all of this information to say that it's a reflection on the city of Manhattan Beach, when one of our own and my brothers and sisters here gets an award.
Right.
And it's a celebration of the entire family of Manhattan Beach, from the schools to the businesses to the wonderful staff that I have the good fortune to work with day in, day out, to our leadership, city council, our wonderful volunteer commissioners, our wonderful department heads. Everybody has a piece of this, because they have played a major role in setting me up to continue to do my best in service of what I believe in, and that is parks makes life better.
Mm. Amazing.
That skateboard, I got to give the city of Manhattan Beach and you guys kudos on that, because Palos Verdes have been trying for years.
Yeah.
To get a skate park up there, and it just keeps running into roadblocks. And you guys, I just heard about this for the first time, 8 months ago or something?
Yeah.
And boom, you've got a site.
Yes, yeah. It's a long journey even with it, because, going back to the late 80s, with the first attempts at the first ramps that we did over at Manhattan Heights with the Teen Center, was established with the Moses Gonzalez, Ed Montan, myself, and the wonderful leaders of Teen Center at Manhattan Heights, and then the whole idea of, win them, build them, send them. So, you got to win the kids over. You got to be attractive to them. You got to, you have to have things that would engage them and address their passion, whether it is a skateboard park or it's your teen center garden or ski trips, etc. You need to win them. And when you win them, now you work with them and you build them. You build up their self-esteem and their social skills and their and then you send them out in the world, feeling that, people cared enough beyond my family that created for me an atmosphere and environment that is, I feel home, and I'm proud to call my home Manhattan Beach. And that it takes a lot. So it's a long journey, but it's worthwhile. It's worthwhile. And maybe, when somebody shows up, and maybe 2 years from now, when we have the skateboard park built, and they think it's always was there. It's always was there, but it wasn't always there.
Mm-hmm.
It took a lot of energy, a lot of effort, and a lot of love and dedication from everybody, even those people that don't want it. They make us better because they seriously.
To get it to work.
My dream is actually that skateboard parks would be part of all parks. Maybe one day skateboarding would be part of educational curriculums in schools, because that's what kids like to do, and we need to manage the risk, and we need to these are natural things. I remember sitting in school in Michigan and somebody talking about, in California, they have PE out on the ocean, they have surfing classes.
Mm-hmm.
So why not? It's not why, the answer is why not. So this,
that's right.
This is what I hope. And the biggest thing, really, is the mindset of what we do is very, very important. And the questions that I love dealing with and love every day of my work is the wonderful people that ask the question, what if?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. What if opens up a whole world of possibilities.
Right.
A whole world of innovation, of asking questions of how can we become better? How can we do things different to make it even better, more productive, more effective, more efficient? So what if? What if?
Yeah.
What
if? that is the question. That is the question. Joe, I'm going to quickly run over a couple of things that are going on in Manhattan Beach over the next few days. We spoke about this over the last couple of weeks. The Manhattan Beach Badminton Club is hosting the final U.S. Olympic Badminton Qualifying Tournament stop on the Road to Rio 2016 at Manhattan Beach Badminton Club February 3rd through February 7th. A global contingent of the world's finest players will descend on Manhattan Beach to earn valuable ranking points in an effort to meet the Olympic qualifying standard and achieve their Olympic dream. This will be a fun and exciting event for spectators and a great party surrounding world-class badminton athletes competing to reach their dream in participating at the Rio Olympic Games in 2016. Now, the event is free to attend February 3rd through the 5th from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. Tickets are $10 at the door only for the semis and finals, semis on February 6th from 1 to 5 and the finals on February 7th from 9 to 1. For additional information, visit the website at mbbadmintonclub.com, mbbadmintonclub.com. And it's located at 516 18th Street in Manhattan Beach. All right. The Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce presents the new and improved Business Connection Lunch on Friday, February 5th at noon. The Business Connection Lunch is moving to the Second Story restaurant at the Bellamar. The new location provides award-winning cuisine and a comfortable and elegant atmosphere and complimentary parking. On top of the tremendous business development opportunities, the new Business Connection Lunch will also afford you a chance to get to know a hidden gem in Manhattan Beach. The Connection Lunches will continue to occur the first Friday of the month at noon, starting February 5th. All right, so that's today. So today at noon is the first new Business Connection Lunch. For information and registration, visit the website at manhattanbeachchamber.com. DACA Interiors will host a pre-Valentine pop-up called Beau Camping, featuring the work of artist Gregory Beaucamp on Saturday, February 6th from 4 to 7 p.m. The community is invited to pop into DACA and discover one of downtown Manhattan Beach's newest shops, learn about boat camping, and possibly pick up a little Valentine for that someone special. Guests will enjoy light bites provided by Fishing with Dynamite and sips by Chandon. For additional information, visit that website at dacainteriors.com. They're located at 1219 Highland Avenue in Manhattan Beach. Now, big one. The Manhattan Beach Chamber presents the annual State of the City Address on Wednesday, February 10th, from 7:30 to 10 a.m. at the Joslyn Center. Mayor Mark Burton will speak on how the city is managing its resources, what was accomplished last year, how the city is preparing for 2016, and updates on what many of the local civic organizations are doing. Tickets are $35 for chamber members and $45 for non-members, and breakfast will be provided. For additional information and to register, visit that the website again, manhattanbeachchamber.com. Now, there's one last item that I really want to get out there. Artist Gary Sweeney is selling his childhood home in Manhattan Beach.
Oh, okay.
But before he hands over the keys, it's going to spend its final days as an art exhibit entitled A Manhattan Beach Memoir, 1945 to 2015. Mm. Now, Sweeney has mounted, he printed up large prints of his family photos on plywood, and he mounted them all over the exterior of the house. And he's going to be giving guided tours every Wednesday in February from 4 to 7 p.m. Now, the photographs were taken by his father, Mike Sweeney, who was an amateur photographer, and they document the 70 years the family lived under that roof. Now, assuming whoever bought the house would tear it down, you know, it sold in one day. He put the house on the market. It sold in the first day. And assuming whoever bought the house would tear it down, Gary took the opportunity to remind people what Manhattan Beach used to be like with this utterly unique tribute. Now, as I said, he's going to be doing tours on Wednesdays from 4 to 7, but if you can't attend one of the tours, it's a house. You can walk by or you can drive by, and you can see this enchanting, ephemeral farewell. For additional information, you can visit his website at GarySweeneyArt.com. The Sweeney home is located at 320 35th Street in Manhattan Beach, and Joe, I just absolutely love what he's doing.
Right. It's amazing.
Yeah, I love what he's doing.
Wow.
All right, so let's get the lowdown on this awards dinner. Where? When?
It's the awards dinner is part of the CPRS conference, California Parks and Recreation Society's conference. It's on Friday, March the 11th in Long Beach. I believe it's at the Hyatt. For information about it, I believe you contact the CPRS, which is you know, www.cprs.org, and I believe all of their information is as far as the banquet and times, etc., is all on their website also.
Did you say Long Beach? Why did I think it was in Sacramento?
The conference moves from Northern California one year to Southern California another. So this year we're fortunate that it's in our neighboring cities, Long Beach.
Oh, okay. All right.
Beautiful.
Yeah, at the convention center and the Hyatt, etc.
So we can all be there.
I would hope so.
Okay, so wait a minute.
I need people to party with.
do you have to get up and make a speech?
This is actually the only award that they allow you to do that.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's just like, so I said, wow. It might be a mistake giving me the mic, but anyway, I hope to just recognize everybody there and thank them again, from my, you know, my beautiful wife, Fena, to my parents, to my wonderful children, you know, Zaid, Leif, Jason, Jinan, everybody, the wonderful leadership here in Manhattan Beach with our wonderful city council, each individual, our wonderful administration from our city manager, to everybody that this is really for. You know, it's a reflection on who we are. And when you look at the field of parks and recreation, the way that I have studied it, you know, starting with the philosophy of parks and recreation, the establishments, the founding father that happens also to be from the Arab world, Ibn Khaldun, all the way to, you know, Frederick Law Olmsted, Joseph Lee, everybody that gives us this, Jane Addams, that gets us here. It's a long journey inside, in order to bring in everything that I believe in outside and share it with others, because parks make life better.
Right.
They provide us with this beautiful access to the serenity and inspiration of nature, outdoor spaces to play and to exercise. They facilitate facilities for self-directed and organized recreation. It's a positive alternative for everybody. It takes you out of loneliness and puts you into a good place. It lowers crime, mischief, activities that create social interaction, human development, the arts, lifelong learning. I mean, you know, parks make life better.
It says it all. That says it all. We could have just started the show today and said, parks make life better, end of show.
Drop the mic.
Yeah.
You can do that, Idris, after your
let's go dance.
you could do that the night of the award ceremony. Parks make life better. Let's party.
Thank you. Done.
And
you know, that's a title of a videos that we do, you know, I've done, and that it is self evident that parks make life better.
Yeah. I can hear audio-visual equipment managers all over the country just sort of pulling their hair out. Where did that phrase come from? That damn phrase, drop the mic.
Every chance I have to travel, I take T-shirts with me, trinkets and gadgets and keychains that say that.
Yeah.
And till today, nobody has looked at me and said no. They all look at and say, yes.
Yeah.
They said it to me in Russian. They said it to me in Chinese. They said it to me in every language. And you know, because I travel a lot.
Yeah.
You know, since we came out with the slogan, and nobody has looked at it and say, nah, I disagree. It's like, wow. Yeah.
I'm curious because we only have a couple of minutes left, but real quickly, can you with all the traveling you do and do other countries think of parks, the whole parks in the high esteem that as we do?
Yes, and they're dedicated, you know, different parts of the world, they understand it's a mechanism for tourism, they understand it's a mechanism for economic development, that they're an inspiration for the destination, that they got to keep them safe, clean, and green. They understand the connection with human development. They understand what its impact as far as, you know, activity. I mean, when you go to Hong Kong and you see the people doing they're doing Tai Chi, they're doing it in parks, and it's a natural, you know, every green space is guarded. This is a world issue. This is, you know, the taking care of the environment. It's not only here, it's everywhere. Everybody's starting to understand that we live on this beautiful blue little marble, and it's about the air that we breathe, it's about the water that we drink, and it's about the earth that gives us an abundance, and we need to take care of it. And it starts with the ethic of valuing those things that give you back. And it starts at the parks. It starts at the park, this beautiful space, and then you take it to the regional park, and then you take it to the national park. So the movement starts very, very early, and we protect those things that we love. We do.
1872.
1872, is that the national parks?
In 1872, Lincoln's former general, President Ulysses S. Grant, made Yellowstone America's and the world's first truly national park. Now, we can say that America started it, but we can't say that America has done it upright. I mean, the rest of the world is national park crazy. It's just gone viral around the world, the largest protected sanctuaries, protected by state or no countries, Kenya. Tanzania.
That makes sense.
They have understood that everything about their identity is the preservation of their natural resources.
Yeah.
Half the state, half the country in Kenya is a national park.
Yeah.
Half.
All right, and let's give kudos real quick to the city of Hawthorne. They just recently opened, at the end of last month, they opened new soccer and futsal fields. I'm sure you know about it. And they look gorgeous, which is going to be huge. Because for years, they had signs up that said no soccer playing.
Yeah.
And they finally installed a couple of fields, and that's exciting. And that's
right here
in the South Bay, which is going to affect all the kids that play soccer here. So
definitely,
all around, it's a great thing.
Definitely. And talking about national parks, you know, one of the projects that I have good fortune also to work with Dr. Azam Alwash is the establishment of the first national park in Iraq, which is in the south, protecting the marshes in Iraq, et cetera. That's a huge project that I, you know, would love to have Dr. Azam, et cetera, with everybody. But people understand it. They understand it. Parks make life better.
Parks make life better, and it's wonderful to hear about national parks in Iraq and other places in the world. It's what a legacy that we can begin to leave to our children and our children's children's children.
Yes.
What a legacy. And Idris, what a legacy you have left through your professional work in Manhattan Beach. We appreciate you. We thank you. And
We congratulate you. Yes.
And then in Arabic they say Assalamu alaikum, and that means may peace be upon you all. Thank you very much for bringing me to Manhattan Beach, keeping me here. This is my home, and I love you all.
Thank you. This is one for the ages. This is one of my favorite shows ever. Thank you so much for joining us, Idris Jassim Al-Aboudi.
Thank you.
And, Jackie, thank you.
Always a pleasure, Joe.
Oh, boy, I love this show. This is a great one. Ladies and gentlemen, that's our show for today. And the weekend is upon us. Enjoy your weekend. Find a park and enjoy it. That's our show. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.